charity, heart of the gospel. In this 34th episode of Our Lady's Shock Troops, Kevin Rorty discusses one of the most important questions everyone should be able to answer, namely, what is love? Also, how to examine one's conscience with respect to living the virtue of charity heroically, and helpful, simple, daily means by which we grow in this virtue.
Praise be, Jesus and Mary. I'm David Rodriguez, Content Director for the Fatima Center, joined by my good friend, Kevin Rorty of the Souls of the Christian Apostle, SOCA. Good to see you again, Kevin.
Great seeing you too, David.
So today, we find ourselves here in the midst of the Lenten season, and we'll be talking about the theological virtue of charity. In the last two shows, we talked about the supernatural virtue of faith and also the supernatural virtue of hope. Charity is the highest of those, and that's left for us. Kevin, if you'll start us off with the act of charity.
In the Father, and in the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord God, I love you above all things, and I love my neighbor for your sake, because you are the highest, infinite, and perfect good, worthy of all my love. In this love, I intend to live and die. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
So not too many introductory remarks. Charity is, as we said, a theological virtue, and as you just prayed, by which we love God above all things for his own sake, not for, you know, what he can do for us per se. That's like an imperfect kind of charity when all we do is, let's say, fear hell or desire the reward of heaven. And that plays in how we pray our act of contrition with perfect contrition and perfect contrition. But again, loving God for his sake. And then, of course, we love our neighbor for the love of God. So there could be a lot of natural reasons why we might love our neighbor, goods that we can get from them. But that's not true supernatural charity. Rather, we're loving our neighbor for the love of God. And by way of introduction, I'll just say something that I've been saying for many years. I've probably said it in many talks, but that's just that love or charity is a word we use often, even in such, you might say, demeaning ways as, oh, I love pizza. And I've taught my children whenever they say, no, you don't love pizza because the pizza can't love you and the pizza is an inanimate object. It's not a person who can receive your love and give your love back. And I remind them ultimately, love is the cross. That's love when we're talking about supernatural virtue. And I say, it's when you desire the good for another. And here we got what is truly good. So ultimately, we're talking about the eternal good, which is heaven, right? So when you're desiring the good for the other in any situation, but above all, the ultimate good, heaven, and you're willing to sacrifice your own, you know, comforts, whatever, you're willing to sacrifice for that good in the other. That's true love. So it's measured by sacrifice. It's measured by good. I mean, it's a hard reality, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I think our listeners can handle this. I tell people, if you're not thinking about heaven and you don't have a view of heaven and desire that good, then you actually can't love, at least not this supernatural real love, real charity that we're talking about, because you have to desire heaven for others. And that can hit people hard, because I might even tell them, like, your relatives, you think your relatives love you, but they've apostatized. They've left the Catholic faith, or they don't think about heaven at all. They don't believe in heaven and hell. They actually, at that point, they've placed themselves in a position where they're not capable of actually loving you. Not true charity. Yeah. Human love, yes, right? But that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about supernatural charity. Totally. So if you're not desiring heaven for that other person and sacrificing for that to come about, then it's not love. And again, we can go into a lot, but I'm going to stop right now, Kevin. But I'll just say, when you husband are looking at your wife, you're looking at your husband and you say, I love you. Hopefully that's what you're saying. And it's good for spouses to stop when they tell each other, I love you, or maybe not spouses, maybe when people are courting and those things come up, what do you really mean by this, right? Yeah. What do you mean when you say, I love you? Because, I mean, does it just mean I love pizza, or does it mean what it's supposed to mean?
Right. Well, so here's some heroic virtue questions to ask ourselves with regard to the supernatural virtue of charity. Do I pray often for the conversion of sinners? What are my relations toward my enemies? Do I forgive my enemies, receive them meekly, and pray for them? Do I prevent arguing and fighting? do I care for the good name of others? With what frequency and fervor do I offer up prayers for the souls of the deceased? Do I strive to comfort the afflicted? Do I excuse when opportune the defects of my neighbor? What is my attitude toward the sick? Do I love the poor, help them according to my ability, and strive to get others to assist? Do I instruct the ignorant in counsel and give counsel to those in doubt? Am I devoted to the spiritual and physical well-being of the sick? Do I correct sinners and restore peace and concord among those who are fighting? Do I hate sin and take care to preserve myself free from every defect? Do I speak often of God? Is my mind always fixed on God and in union with God? How is this shown? Well, I think like you were saying, David, true Christian charity has to be understood from the supernatural standpoint of the cross and sacrifice for others' eternal salvation and allowing that to be manifested in every way possible. If we believe that God really is love, is charity, Deus caritas est, God is charity, then anywhere where that isn't the case, we want it to be different in little ways and in the biggest ways possible. Like we were talking about with faith and with hope, if we have this big virtue in our mind, at least, that, yeah, God is the greatest good and he is charity, and so I should be charitable, but it isn't manifested in little ways, then there's something off. Just like with hope, if we believe in eternal salvation, that God is going to give that to us, but we don't see any ways in which God helps direct us, there's probably something off there. Same with charity. We should love God above all things and love our neighbor for his sake and want what he wants most, which is their salvation. And we want the little things that are going to lead to their salvation. We want them to have a foretaste of that heaven starting right now with the seed of eternal life in their soul, with baptism, with sanctifying grace, growing in that. And that's shown in all these different ways with the works of mercy, the spiritual works and the corporeal works, the spiritual works being of a higher level. And that's why the faith and hope are so important to be able to inform what true charity really is.
Well said. Also, I mean, that was one thing I did just notice as you read all those questions. They were definitely hammering on the spiritual and the corporal works of mercy. And I don't know if, one, we have those memorized. We should make an effort to memorize them and know them well. And then two, I don't know how often we evaluate our own selves or examine our conscience or even think how charitable we are with those as our guideposts. And again, very grateful that you said it spot on, Kevin, how the spiritual works of mercy take priority. Because I think when people do think of the works of mercy, today at least, even in many of our parishes, it's like we almost exclusively focus on the corporal works of mercy, and those are certainly important. But the spiritual are spiritual, and they do take priority. And what's really kind of demented, diabolical, again, I've talked, I think, at times of how the whole diabolical thing is turning upside down, right? What is good is looked on as evil, and what is evil is looked on as good. So often when you actually do try to practice the spiritual works of mercy, you're told that you're doing something hateful. And that you're not loving, right? Like admonishing the sinner, correcting the sinner, or instructing the ignorant with regard to the truths of the faith and with regard to what is sin. A lot of people just don't want to hear that. You know, you tell them that and you're actually trying to practice a spiritual work of mercy and charity, you're accused of not being charitable. So that's just part of the persecution we have to face. But yeah, for our own examination of conscience, really think, how well do I live the corporal works and the spiritual works of mercy? I think that's a really, really good point.
Yeah, and here's from Ephesians 3:6, I believe. So, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and co-partners of his promise in Christ Jesus by the gospel. We want the Gentiles to be, we want everyone to share in the richness that we have hoped for, that we hope for, and we will hope for, that we will receive. St. Paul goes on, of which I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, which is given to me according to the operation of his power. To me, the least of all the saints is given this grace to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to enlighten all men that they may see what is the dispensation of the mystery which hath been hidden from eternity in God, who created all things that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by his Spirit with might unto the inward man. Just pause there. That's the inward man. That's what he wills for others because of the richness that is in Christ, that is hidden in God, for others to be strengthened by the Holy Ghost in their inward man, their inner man. This is really a mystical passage here. It goes on, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know also the charity of Christ, which surpasseth all knowledge, that you may be filled unto the fullness of God. You know, there's so much to meditate on and to unpack and to contemplate there about what real charity is, that it's insurpassable, just how strong God's charity is, that he would die on the cross, that he will give us the heroic virtue to be able to sacrifice to that extent. But we should be looking in every little way we can in our life of how can we demonstrate that love that he'll infuse into us, that we would want to contemplate God in this love, in what that charity really looks like in him, and what heaven really would be like, and then start to resemble and imitate that as much as we can in this life. I mean, it's aiming for a very, very high ideal. It isn't just this human being nice. It's so much more than that. And from that inner strength, from that inner life and vitality of charity, will come forth and blossom all the other virtues, supernatural and natural.
It is what we're made for, and we're not going to be, it's very true that we have that sort of, they call it a God-shaped hole, if you want, in your heart, in your soul. It's, we're made for love. We desire love. God made us that way because he is love. So he wants to love us, and he wants us to love in return. And then original sin comes in and twists that love again, puts it upside down and makes it selfish. And so it's true that only in giving do we truly receive, as St. Francis said in his prayer, it is in dying to ourselves and our own will that we open ourselves to love others. And that's hard. It's not easy, but that's the goal, right? To love. You want others to love you, but for that, you've also got to be willing to humble yourself and sacrifice, open yourself up to that love. And that's what we're made for. We're not going to be content until that. And we run around looking for love and all, and I think the song even says that, pathetic song, right? But to look for love in the wrong places, because we're not looking for it in God and on the cross. And until we find it in God, it doesn't matter what you do. You're not going to be satisfied. You're always going, and to the degree that you are not satisfied in this life, it's to the degree that we're lacking love, love for others, and especially above all, love for God, which roots it all.
And we have to think about how strong this is, because you know, one of the questions, do I forgive my enemies, receive them meekly and pray for them? That's a very practical, concrete thing. Like in this moment right now, do you will the good of those who you would say have persecuted you? You know, do I do that? You know, and do I pray for them? Do I really want their salvation? Do I want their eternal happiness? Or am I vengeful? Do I say vengeance is mine, not God's? That's the true Christian charity. That's what's supernatural about this. You know, our Lord says anyone can love their friends and hate their enemies. But I say to you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's what's supernatural revelation here from God. Only God can give such amazing wisdom that's also so difficult. But also, he's the only one who gives the strength to be able to do it. That's why it's supernatural. It's above human nature's capacity. And that's what makes us, that's at the heart of what makes us different as believers and followers of Christ. I mean, that's the apex of the Beatitudes is, blessed are you when you face persecution for my sake, our Lord says. When they curse and revile you for me. Do we love our Lord enough to face all of that with joy? We believe that he'll give us the strength to do that. And do we will that? These are very radical things. You know, when our Lord brought these things up, we're used to hearing them. They kind of go in one ear and out the other. This is groundbreaking. Yeah. This is taking everything and shifting upside down in how we think on a purely human level to love to that extent.
I really like how you pulled that question out, because I zeroed in on that as you were reading it, because we don't have to make it too big. Sometimes we don't make it too big. I mean, you start thinking about your enemies. I am a father. So I have six children running around the house, six lovely children whom I love with all my heart. But as children are, they squabble, right? And so we'll hit the fifth sorrowful mystery. Again, yeah, that's a great time to pray for the virtue to love your enemies and to forgive those who hurt you in that fifth sorrowful mystery.
Yeah.
But I remind my children, when I say enemies here, you certainly can't think of it as those people out there, you know, way out there who like, yeah, you know, might want to come and kill you or destroy your life. Sometimes we don't even have that kind of enemy. But I say, honestly, kids, it's us in this house right now. It's your sisters, because they fought with you and they scratched you and they took that away from you and they said that mean thing to you. And so then when they say that mean thing to you, you got to say a mean thing back. They ripped that out of your hands and you got to rip it back. They had that, you know, whatever thing they were going to eat. You had to run and go eat it and steal it from them. And all the arguing and the fighting that takes place on a day-to-day basis in a family. I mean, anyone who's got a family and you have children, this goes on amongst all the members of the family. And so I remind them, we have to forgive here. You have to turn the other cheek with your sibling. If you don't do it at this little level with people you really do love a lot and love you a lot,
yeah,
how are you going to do it out there? Right? Again, like St. John says, if you don't love your neighbor whom you see, and I could go further and say that, you know, shares a bedroom with you here in the house, how are you going to love the God that you don't see? And how are we going to have the strength to forgive those who might commit much greater atrocities towards us if we're not even forgiving on the little things? So we all have that. It could be with our spouses, coworkers, you know, people at the parish, the people on the street that are driving on the road with you. There's a lot of people all around us that we don't often forgive very easily. And we do want to sort of execute that vengeance, even if it's just vengeance in our mind by uttering a mean word or thinking a mean thought. Even those things our Lord is telling us, if you have true charity, you're going to fight that. My relations towards my enemies, do I forgive them? Do I forgive them quickly and meekly and truly? And do I prevent arguing and fighting? I mean, those are great things for me as a father and family man with my children for us just to work on, for sure.
Yeah. And I think one thing that isn't thought about, I would implore everyone to really meditate on this virtue, especially how difficult it is to get by in the world and in the church today, because while we have to try to seek the truth, and there are going to be discussions and debates, and everyone's not going to have the same picture about this or that. But in that seeking, we want to do it in a charitable way that isn't, certainly shouldn't be slanderous, making things up about people. We don't need name calling or mockery. That's not necessary to be able to seek the truth. And furthermore, there should be a certain assumption of good intentions of people, even if they're way off or whatever. We want, to the most reasonable extent we can, give, you know, the best interpretations of things people said or did. That would also apply. I've seen this about marriages. This is a stat that this is one of the most critical things, signs that a marriage will work well, is if spouses assume the best intentions of one another when something happens. If they're constantly not assuming the best, you know, you might know some people that are very critical. It's hard to be able to say like, why, something's wrong about that. I can't really say what virtue it's not, but it just seems like every little thing all they will do is just point out what's wrong or how I messed up or whatever. That's ultimately the flame of charity has been extinguished when that's all there is, because you can always give that interpretation or you can give the best. How do you think God, the Father in heaven, looks at us, right? He looks at us with charity while he also sees the full extent of our sinfulness. We should be emulating and living from that lens that the gift of piety, again, helps us see everyone as brothers, you know, or at least, you know, created by God. And we're desirous for everyone to be adopted children of God.
No, one thing you said there was great, Kevin. It reminded me very much of something Father Maudsley told me when I was getting to spend some time with him. Because, you know, sometimes we do see ourselves in our sinfulness or others, and you wonder, man, how can we love each other? And how does God love us when we are so sinful? And it's interesting because Father Maudsley made this point. He said, you know, for God, there is no time. He sees all things at once. And so he actually sees, when he looks at you, David, like the finished David product, the way you're going to be at the end when you're brought into this full perfection that he desires for you. Right. So even like going through the refining fires of purgatory, he knows what you're going to be. And so when he looks at you, even right now in 2023, when you're far from that and you're still working on that and you're this work in progress, but he knows what you're going to be, and he can see you that way and he can love you that way. And that's part of, I think, like this love he has for us. So then the job for me then, like with my kids or with my wife or with anyone, is to try to partake of that vision that God has. And that's what assuming the best about a person is, right? Yeah. God can do that because he's God, but we have to exert ourselves with charity and with God's grace to do that too. So the more we can see people that way and think about that, that that's how God's looking at us, I think it can certainly help us. And then let that dominate our conversation. I mean, the other point you made, I thought was great, just in our conversation with the Catholics. So often I do say I'm disappointed because I see a lack of charity in a lot of conversations that Catholics have. Like you were saying, there's a lot of things we can disagree about. We may see things differently. Prudence may go one way. Our situation might dictate something else, but we should always cover it with charity. And anytime I'm engaged in a conversation with fellow Catholics or fellow anyone, and I see that charity really is lacking and it's so obvious, I sort of step back and I sort of think, well, you know, we got to cool off. This isn't working because we need charity.
Yeah, this
or at least I know. I also sort of inside my head, I go, I know the Holy Ghost isn't guiding this one.
That's it.
This is not working for us. This whole situation, we're not putting it under God's purview and his providence because we're not charity here. You know, and if I'm lacking charity, it's true. But if others, so to me, that's like a telltale sign, a big red light when I see this glaring lack of charity that we treat others with, assuming the worst about them, you know, speaking in what clearly lacks charity.
Yeah, like, bitterness. Yeah.
Yeah, this is not the Holy Ghost. I mean, you might be saying some true things about doctrine or faith or this or that, but something's missing. And it's the key thing that's missing is charity.
Yeah, because you can have faith without charity. You know,
you
can have a supernatural virtue of faith without charity. So it is something for us to pay attention to. And I think St. Thomas Aquinas, who is, I mean, he's, everyone's like, oh, St. Thomas, you know, doctrinal sound, all that. And oftentimes he's brought up sometimes in this bitter way, you know, those that are very, that sometimes are bitter, they'll at least stand by St. Thomas. But the way he did things, he tried to put the best spin on what people he disagreed with would say, you know, and he did show a certain degree of respect. Like, oh, I see, you know, here's why someone might say this, you know, and he was certainly not like a name caller or whatever. And if we look from the outside in, you know, I've heard this and it's unfortunate here that sometimes people come into the church or they're looking about the church or especially on the internet, they would say some of the most bitter voices that they hear are from Catholics, you know, from the more faithful Catholics. And that's where we have to do an examination of conscience about charity. I mean, that's at the heart of the gospel, literally. This is what our Lord is, this is what it's all about. And this is the way for true renewal in the church. You know, our Lord's not going to work through uncharitable, bitter zeal. You know, it's going to be through charitable zeal.
Certainly it is. So there's a lot to examine our conscience there about charity. I think we've run out of time, Kevin. Any closing words or do we move to our concluding prayer?
I encourage everyone to do mental prayer because, you know, I myself always wonder, do I really have charity? Am I, or there are times where I've been scrupulous or whatever. And there's so many confusions. You can't fully know yourself. So you're so dark, but in prayer, God gives little lights. He gives little, you know, he strengthens you in ways that you can't fully see in a subconscious way. And that's where we are sure to be on the right track. St. Teresa says, if we just are committed to that every single day.
Yeah, and if we do, make that mental prayer a great act of charity.
Yep, a total.
We should be doing. Yeah, that's what we should do with it. Okay, well, thanks again for another show. We'll close with just the glory be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you very much, Kevin. Looking forward to our next topics. Any of our viewers have topics that they'd like us to discuss, feel free to email them to us as well.
Thanks, David. God bless everyone.
Our Lady's Shock Troops is brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. The message of Fatima is the solution for our time. Only she can help us now. It is urgent that we live according to Our Lady's message and share it with everyone we know. For more resources and to support this vital apostolate with your donation, visit our website, fatima.org. or call us at 1-800-263-8160. May all we do be for the glory of God and salvation of souls. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us.